It's a good time to talk about investing amid this coronavirus panic. And instead of going to a lot of the usual suspects, professionals from Wall Street, I think it would be a good idea to go to Kiplinger's personal finance site. And they also do a podcast as well. And I invited back Sandra Block, who is senior editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance, to discuss this with me today. Welcome back to the show, Sandra.
Thank you for having me.
So coronavirus or COVID-19, of course, there's nobody in the world that hasn't heard of this. And so much information and so much talking about it is abounding. And it gets hard to know exactly what to do and what to believe. So today, instead of trying to prognosticate, I want to talk about some particular specific actions that people can take investment-wise, but also with their personal finances as well. So why don't we start with that? First of all, in terms of the magazine's point of view on the investing side of things, what are you/they recommending?
I mean, what we're recommending is what we always have recommended, is that if you've got a good asset allocation, a good plan in place, you shouldn't be messing around with it now. Times like these are a good measure of your risk tolerance to see how much you can stand. Yeah. But if you have a diversified portfolio that reflects your age and your tolerance for risk, you shouldn't be doing anything. Panic selling, you might want to review going forward whether, you know, you are in a good position to withstand these kinds of shocks. Yeah. But for most people, they kind of should just keep doing what they're doing. And if you have a 401k plan or any kind of plan where you invest regularly, you're basically doing what smart people say to do, which is you're buying on the dips. Mm-hmm. If you're putting money regularly into the market by contributing to a 401k, you're buying stocks when they're low. And that's usually what pays off over the long term when you stay in the stock market.
You know, if you buy an asset, let's say you buy an apartment and you're going to rent it out, you kind of know what the cash flow from that apartment's going to be. And let's just pick a number. Let's say that apartment sells for $200,000 and you calculate your numbers. You're going to bring in X. You paid Y. X divided by Y means your rate of return is, you know, Z, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're paying, instead of paying $200,000, if you're paying $150,000 for that same cash flow, then your future yield or rate of return will rise. And that's what's happening here. You have all these companies, they may experience temporary slowdowns, but these companies generally have good balance sheets. Like you said before, if you're well diversified, you've got great companies, you've got mediocre companies, maybe you have some poorly structured companies, but in general, you have probably tens of thousands of stocks all over the world. And in general, they're going to grow at X rate. We've seen that time and time again. And if you're paying 20% less for that growth, that means that your future return is going to be higher. So if you're thinking about the longer term, then this is the way to understand why, as you said, with the 401k, if you're accumulating money for the long term, buying when prices are low is exactly what you want to do. So Sandra, let's talk about people who are counting on their portfolios to live on. Let's say they're retired or they're using the dividends from the portfolio to live on. Should they take a different tack?
So if you went into this downturn with too much in stocks and you're realizing you're having to sell some stocks or funds to pay the bills, I would say the solution there is to cut your expenses, try to sell as little as possible, and when the market recovers, take a hard look at your allocation and make sure that you are better prepared for the next downturn, because they will come.
Yeah. You know, as an advisor, we always look at retired portfolios, making sure that there is enough cash around or short-term bonds or something that's pretty stable to cover those kinds of expenses, because you really don't know when, and in this case, how deep a market sell-off might be. And you need that time to get through, to let the dust settle and the air clear, literally, since we're talking about a coronavirus. And So now you don't have to really worry. What does it really matter? Your portfolio value is bouncing around. And don't forget, too, that your portfolio is throwing off dividends. And right now the dividends are, you know, approaching 3%.
Right.
So that makes it pretty attractive, especially when you can invest in a 10-year treasury for like 0.75%, 3% steady dividend, and actually with the opportunity or the chance that dividends will rise over time, you know, there's a reason to be invested into the economy and into business in general. Sandra, I want to change gears here because you know, when crises happen, bad people start to take advantage of people who are fearful. And what I'm speaking about particularly is this idea that scammers are out now overcharging for things as simple as a hand cleaner.
Right, right.
Maybe toilet paper, all those things that everybody is hoarding now. Why exactly? I'm not sure. I don't know what they're thinking. But nevertheless, I mean, it's not a hurricane. It's a virus that's going to pass. But nevertheless, what have you seen with regards to what's happening online and how can people protect themselves?
Well, there are a lot of things going on. The Secret Service, the FDA, the FTC, Consumer Federation of America have all put out warnings about different kinds of scams and markups. One of the things they're warning people about is to be very wary of any emails they get that claim to come from a legitimate medical organization such as the CDC with attachments that claim to have information about the coronavirus or how to avoid it or something like that. And these are just your basic phishing scams that try and get people to either implant malware on their computers or provide personal information that can be sold to identity thieves. So, you know, CDC is not going to email you personally, so
No. Avoid
anything like that. As far as the products, a lot of third-party sellers and some just outright crooks are using platforms such as Amazon and eBay to hawk things that people really seem to want, like face masks and hand sanitizer. Some of them are just the products themselves marked up, but in other cases, it's just, you know, they'll ask you for a big upfront payment and then disappear. So I think people have to be very careful when they're shopping for things online that they think they desperately need and are willing to pay a high price for. If you really are willing to pay an extra price, I think you're probably better off going into a store and buying it, because then at least you know you have something to take home.
I went into a local Walgreens the other day to pick up something, and I was looking around, and the woman behind the counter, the pharmacy counter, asked me if she could help me, and I said, I'm looking for Purell, and she actually laughed. She laughed at me.
I was like, she said, we don't have
it. Well, yeah, she goes, no, there's none of that. I mean, really, are you that much of an idiot that you don't know that there's none of that stuff left? And I mean, I thought I knew that, but of course, I was thinking maybe that the companies had restocked the shelves by this point. My guess is that the companies are working hard to restock the shelves of all of this stuff.
Yes, they are. They're gearing up. You know, there's going to be a lot of this out there. And if you really are desperate, there are actually, I've looked them up, there are recipes online that you can make it yourself.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there are ways around this problem. As I said, I think, you know, which people should be particularly wary of is buying any of these things online. And it's a real worry with the face masks, because people are selling these at a huge markup. And a lot of times they don't even work. So you're spending a lot of money on something that doesn't even protect you. If it is something that potentially could protect you, you might be buying something that is better reserved for people who truly are ill or healthcare workers. So I think all of these things, you know, this is just basic exploitation, trying to take advantage of people who are really scared. And there are much better things to do with your money.
You mentioned the face masks. From what I've read continually, the face masks don't really work, but we need to leave the good face masks alone. We need to not buy those because we need our healthcare workers to be able to have them when they need. They're putting themselves on the front line and they need to be protected as well, because that's how the system will work. So think about that and the fact that the face masks really are not that effective. I think the most effective thing you can do is to try to stay kind of socially separated to some degree when you're in a crowd and wash your hands, treat it like a regular virus. Make sure if you've got a cold or something like that, or you sneeze, you know, sneeze into your arm and your elbow, that inner elbow part, and just use common sense. I mean, the virus is around with us every year. Thousands of people die every year from the typical virus. Millions catch it around the world. This, maybe it spreads a little easier, but from what I can tell from my reading and understanding, that the mortality rate really isn't as high as people fear. So Just be sensible and keep your fear at bay. Any final words?
No, I think that applies to both shopping and investing as well. I mean, nobody ever makes money by investing when they're afraid.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, is a good strategy to apply to your portfolio, just as it is when you're shopping for things online.
My guest, Sandra Block, senior editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance. And as you know, my mission is always to educate you and to remind you week after week, segment after segment, that we love to get your questions. So contact us, come to our website, stevepomerantz.com, and while you're there, sign up for our weekly update. This is an update where every week in your email inbox, you get the entire show, summaries, transcripts, plus, of course, the audio, so you can listen to any particular segment that you would like, and you can also share it with your family and friends. Don't forget to go to stevepomerantz.com. That's stevepomerantz.com. Sandra, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.